WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now... You are,
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow the channel the regular way, subscribe the regular way, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Follow twitch.tv/LindsayWard. Come to wildtalkradio.com, recordairshow.com. We're here at twitch.tv/WTRLive. Interact with us throughout the night, because we have some things to talk about. So we have some little bit of a festive music.
I was going to say, it's kind of upbeat. It's fun.
It's called Let It Be Christmas. It's a little upbeat. I mean, you can't use the good stuff. And I want to save the other royalty closer to Christmas when we do Jingle All the Rack live on, what is it, the 23rd?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. So we have news. Mm-hmm. We have news. We have injuries. Site-wide related injuries. And we're going to talk, NXT War Games and kind of the future of some people.
We are, but we're not doing that alone.
No, we're not.
We have the pleasure of where we can yell at him live tonight. So you want to kick off the intro?
Ladies and gentlemen, our version of Skip Bayless.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark.
Go, go, go!
And here comes Dakota Kai, remember! She didn't... What the hell?
Oh, my God!
What the hell is Dakota Kai doing? Are you kidding me? Dakota Kai was given an opportunity! Dakota Kai is attacking her best friend!
Intern Shark Kane Kittens.
can't hit that beat. It's Brian.
You know, it's amazing what you can fake on the internet these days.
It's not fake.
It's not fake.
It's a hypothetical situation that could have happened.
There's video of it.
There's video on the Peacocks and the WWE Network.
So, to be fair, I went back and watched that War Games match and just a couple of others after this pay-per-view during the week. Because, you know, I was getting a little sentimental for some of the people that were featured on this show.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because it was one of those things like I'm watching War Games and I was like, oh, shit. Kaylee Ray was actually in another one of these. I forgot about that. Like, I had completely forgotten that she had played a role in at War Games match.
Yeah. Shout out to NXT UK, Mustache Mountain, are once again your tag team champions.
Hey!
Okay, can we just talk about Trent Seven's hair?
I was going to say, so they put out a picture with the both of them having shorter hair, and then you see the clip of it. They have long hair now.
And it's gorgeous. Like, it's gorgeous. Oh, my God. Yes. But no, congratulations to them. I think they, like, I know Tyler has been growing his out. Like, I think Trent just never got his cut during the pandemic. I don't know, though. But, yeah, the congratulations to them. Well-deserved. Very happy that they are now the tag team champions over the, I guess, the romance novel guys. Is that who they are? Is that who they're supposed to be?
They look
pretty dangerous.
They look
pretty dangerous. Pretty deadly, pretty dangerous, something like that.
Whatever it is, they look like bananas.
They look like bananas.
In pajamas?
Have you not seen the picture?
No.
I'll find it.
Pretty Deadly, that is the name.
Pretty Deadly. So anyway, yeah, congrats to them. I say before we get into the serious bit, we should do the Blame Brands.
Bones breaking.
Do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So I know one is our very own Keishi Matsunaga with a hurt knee.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Brent, how could you?
Hey, I said, you know, fantasy is a very important thing here. And when WTR decided to kind of jump ahead of us, prices had to be paid.
Did they, though? Did they? I mean, we could let them have one.
And no. and we also have one more. Staying with WTR.
It's not on the sheet, so you're going to have to do it.
You broke Tim's son's foot.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Okay, look, you can't blame me for non-wrestling related injuries, okay?
You broke his kid's foot.
I didn't do it purposefully.
You broke his foot.
Was he playing hockey?
No, he was at work. He was at work.
Oh.
What was he do? How did he break his foot? What does he do?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no answers. I have
Tim! No Tim, answer. You're in chat. I saw you. What did your son do? And is he okay?
He's no longer in chat.
Oh.
Maybe next
time. Get better, Owen. We love you.
He's tending to Owen's foot right now, so get better.
Ding. Ice. Lots and lots of ice. It's Canada. You should just be able to stick it outside, right?
Put some maple syrup on it.
Just stick it outside. Yeah, yeah.
It's cold there right now, right?
Just put your foot, put your left foot in, put your left foot out, shake it all out, do the hokey.
No, don't shake it all about. That's bad. You should put it in and out.
Shaking it might work because it'll help loosen up some of the ligaments, maybe.
I don't think that's how that works.
Lindsay, are you a doctor?
No, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Well, that might help.
Okay. All right, so feel better, Keishi and Owen. All the love to you. Now we have to do the serious thing, and then we're going to do War Games.
War Games.
Okay, we are only going to comment on what this is. There is no confirmation. There is no reason. There is no nothing. This is broke this afternoon on Twitter. It has since been confirmed by, we think, the family. Everybody's doing well, and this is the only thing we're going to say on it. Jeff Hardy has been released by WWE.
Yeah. It shouldn't surprise you, based on everything that came out in the last few days of why he's been released. You can search Jeff Hardy on the Twitters to sort of look into it. His wife tells us he's fine. There have been a lot of support shown for Jeff. And if he needs the help, he'll get the help. That sum it up?
That sums it up.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. NXT War Games.
War Game.
We got no William Regal on the show. It was very disappointing. All in all, This was a good show. It definitely was not the Takeovers of Past, but it was not meant to be the Takeovers of Past.
Because it was not a takeover.
I was going to say, technically, it's not a takeover.
Takeover is no more. It is no longer with us.
It's been featured.
But yeah, this was good. I like this. I do want to talk about it really quickly because we do have two futures that are now unclear coming out of the show. As a lot of people expected, this was the swan song for Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly. They both had their send off on Tuesday. Johnny Gargano officially becomes a free agent in like less than 2 hours.
Correct.
And there's no word on when Kyle's contract expires, if it hasn't already. I don't know.
It has not, but it should be soon.
Yeah, and there are no plans from either one in terms of what they're going to do in the future. Johnny's going to go home and be with Candace, probably, and Kyle will go home and be with his family.
Because
Kyle's expecting a kid of his own really soon.
Yeah. So they both can be fathers. They're going to be fathers here in the next couple months, so...
They can go be dads!
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. But we had them give their farewell to NXT, and it really is a changing of the guard.
And that's what the show was, especially with the men's War Games match, where it's like, we're going to the next generation, which we've done many times, but we never had the label of 2.0, because we've had the guard change.
We have.
From the horsewomen to the Finn Balors and the like, and even before then, the Tyler Breezes of the world. You had the changeover, but you always had someone like that you knew would come in and fill the spot. Now it's just a whole bunch of new people. Some good, some bad.
Some good, some bad. We'll talk about it. But yeah, this was an interesting show. So Brent, any thoughts before we get into it?
Well, we kind of talked about it on Sunday of like, should it be a changing of the guard? And yeah, it should have been, and it was. We still get some names sticking around, though, like Mr. Peter Dune, and Tommaso's still there for at least a bit. We don't know how much his contract is on for.
With injuries, his is probably, you know, up and down.
He has at least 7 months to a year, I think.
Something like that. He has time still left.
Yeah. But we did see some people kind of take a step forward. Some of it felt a little weird between, you know, what happened on Sunday and what happens Tuesday. But in general, like you said, Lindsay, I think it was a good show. I don't know necessarily if it really felt up to the level that we've seen for takeovers. It was entertaining, but it just didn't feel special.
Yeah, memorable is a good word to use. It's not a memorable show that we'll always go back to. Like, we always go back to the Tegan moment with Dakota because it was a memorable moment. Nothing here is going to have that long-lasting memory of a life-changing, altering moment. I mean, maybe for one person, Coral Jade, maybe?
Cora kind of stepped out a little bit. But the funny thing is kind of touching on her match a little bit. There was that little bit where you were like, is this serious? And then it's like the more it kind of went along, you're like, oh, no, it's a story. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into the match. Let's talk about it. Cora Jade, Io Shirai, Kitty Lee Ray, and Raquel Gonzalez defeated Dakota Kai, Toxic Attraction, by pinfall. I was a little surprised they won this one, honestly.
I wasn't, considering where they went with... where they went with the finish, I'm not surprised in that, because it helps set up a couple of things. Plus, I think with 2.0 winning the main event, you kind of needed, I think, the faces to win here.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, with the tag team match, it was like things felt a little heel heavy for the most part. I mean, you did get a face moment in the middle, but I think the faces here needed to win to help kind of balance the card. Otherwise, it would have felt really heavy to one side.
I think it was more surprising that Coral Jade was the one who got the win.
Yeah, because it was one of those things, like, we thought it could be Raquel or, like, Kaylee Ray could have been the one to kind of pick it up to help, you know, move her momentum forward. But no, they went with the 20-year-old new girl, which, by the way, fans at NXT are starting to get a little more ruthless with, like, you can't skate chance towards her.
Well, you saw what happened when she made her entrance, right? Like, she missed the board.
That's why, yeah.
Like, she was going to jump on the board, and then she went to skate, and the board did not come with her, so it stayed put. So that's why they did it. But yeah, I mean, it was a little mean.
But they loved themselves some Gigi Dolin.
That crowd
was chanting for her, even though... okay, let's just say this. Production crew, I love you guys. You usually do a fantastic job. I think the cages on facing the hard camera side was a good idea.
That was really good. That was a cool look.
It was cool, and you could see some interaction during the matches. Like, you could see Tommaso being there for Johnny during the match, and it was like, okay, that's a cool visual, and having kind of cameras in the cage was an interesting thing. But holy shit, when they left the cage, you lost them.
Yeah, you did. You really did. Like, there was no clear-cut path for them to get through.
My favorite was, like, Gigi disappeared for, like, 20 seconds, and I was like, is she okay?
Well, I was sitting there watching it, and it's like they all ran off to the side, right, as they're making their entrances, and then it's like they're up in the cages. Like, wait, where are the cages? Because I don't see them anywhere. And then they showed them in, like, the wide shot, and it's like, oh, they're up there. Why are they up there? Wait, they're bringing them through the crowd?
Yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, in years past, they were at the entranceway, so they would just come out, go down, and hit the cage. I liked the visual of them kind of coming through the crowd. I mean, that puts a lot of trust in your fans, but shooting it was really hard. Because at least the face side, you could see them kind of coming down the stairs, and you're like, okay, cool. The side on the left, it was just kind of like, okay, I think the cage opened. Now there they are. Okay. But also in the women's war game, it just felt like every time a woman was entering the cage, it was like, okay, it's time to introduce more plunder.
Yeah.
And I think they touched on it on the announce side, or at least Wade Barrett did at one point, where he's like, they're wasting time! Because they had to pull out, like, a chair or a table. At one point, they pulled out a bag, and I don't think they ever opened it.
I'm trying to remember. All I remember is someone got put in a trash can, and they used it as a weapon.
Yeah, Raquel put Dakota in a trash can and spun her around, and it was just one of those, like, oh, that's innovative.
Yeah, so the big spot of the match was the table spot where Coral Jade dislocated her shoulder.
She tried a senton. She tried.
And then the big spot was Io popping it back in.
Yeah, the funny thing, for a while there, like I said, Cora did a really good job at selling that shoulder after the initial hit, where you were looking at it going, did she really just, like, pull a Finn Balor here? Like, is she going to have to leave this match?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second Io grabbed the cage door, I was like, oh, no, this is planned.
Yeah, it's like she was sitting there still in the match in the other ring. Like, they were in one ring, and then she was in another by herself just holding her shoulder. And every time her team would come out, they would check on her, and they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Like, they did a really good job initially on the cell where she falls and she's gripping her shoulder, right? And, like, they quickly scramble to, like, make it look like they're continuing on the match and trying to work around her. Then she just continued to sit there. It's like, are they going to take her out of the cage, or are they going to make her sit there the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, this is kind of weird, because if she fucked her shoulder, shouldn't she come out of the match?
Well, because there was the one time, I want to say 2 years ago, where Kyle got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got busted open bad. And yeah, it was one of those where it's just like, he disappeared into a corner and was not spoken of for the rest of the match.
I guess they tried to do that here. Like, this was better than I thought it was going to be. I'll be completely honest. Like, this one I didn't really have high expectations for, but this was good.
It met my expectations. They all worked as well as I thought they would. I was a little surprised Mandy's crew didn't get more of a shine than they did in this match, but I guess they got enough in, but it's like...
They were hardcore protecting them, like, especially Mandy. They were hard protecting Mandy.
Yeah, because she's your champ, you have to. And you had to make sure that... she was well protected in this one.
The one spot that confused me, because it came out of nowhere, was the Kaylee Ray Cora Jade spot.
That was cool, but it was weird.
It was cool because, well, it was that moment where you had three of the women who weren't hurt, and I use hurt in quotations, about to hold off Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai. But Kaylee Ray has the kendo stick in her hand, and she's looking at Cora Jade in the corner, and they're, of course, teasing this spot, like, is Kaylee Ray going to turn on her? And then she spins around and hits Dakota, jumping out of the air, which the camera missed on the initial spot. They caught it on the replay, but at first you were kind of like, she turns around and all of a sudden there's, like, Dakota just laying there, and you're like, what? Oh, okay, I see what happened. But there wasn't the tease leading up that would make that spot a little more interesting of, like, you know, it's Kaylee Ray trying to take out the weak link now. Like, okay, I'm just going to take care of Cora so that we don't have to worry about her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or was there this idea that, like, Kaylee Ray was never with the face team, and so, like, beating up the baby face, it just, in the storyline of the match, it just like a spot they just kind of put in there. And maybe they'll pay it off in a week or two, but it just felt a little weird.
Kaylee Ray as a babyface, something about it doesn't work for me. She doesn't have that likable personality, I guess.
Well, it's like, if you want to do like a Steve, because I mean, Steve Austin was kind of a dickish babyface to start.
Well, he was, you know, like, he was a heel, he was an asshole who turned into a babyface.
Right. He was the ass kicker, essentially, that people just happened to get behind. But I don't know if that's what they're trying to do with her, or if it was, well, we needed a fourth for this match because it was probably going to be Zoe Stark until, you know.
Well, it was, yeah.
Until her knee decided to, you know, take a vacation.
Until she exploded her knee, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I don't know if it was just one of those, we need a fourth. Kaylee, come here.
I think they're trying to do something with her. I'm not quite sure what they're doing something or what they're doing. Like, this is my one problem with NXT overall right now is they have a lot of characters and they have a lot of things that they're trying, but they're not going beyond the surface level in terms of the storytelling. Like, they're putting people out there. They're not giving them a lot of depth. You're not getting a lot of information like what you used to get in the past, because obviously that's the point is you make them, you get them trained, you get them ready for TV, and then you send them up and you tell those stories on the main roster. But that was the one way you got people invested into these characters, was you had to tell some of those stories. That's why we are the way we are with Tommaso and Johnny and Kyle, and the way we were with Undisputed Era and a lot of other people that were in NXT, was because we went on that journey with them together. And it's just so hard to connect with a lot of the people on the show, because it's like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're about. Like, I know Kaylee Ray is really talented. She's fantastic in the ring. Like, she's one of the longest reigning, if not the longest reigning NXT women's UK champions they have. Like, I think she was she the champion during COVID? She might have been. But they had her drop that title as soon as they could, and then they brought her over here, I feel like. And here, they're just not doing anything really with her beyond having her, like, run around with a baseball bat.
Yeah, it seems like they're undecided on what they're doing with Kaylee Ray, and again, it was a numbers thing for her. They want you to get behind Coral Jade, and I think this was the start of it to sort of, they're building her as the underdog. So that's fine. And then you see where you go with the women, you know?
The funny thing is, and I hate saying this, I can see them building Cora Jade up to be the Tegan-like babyface. She has the same look. She has the same style gear. She just happens to have a skateboard instead of the Captain Marvel pilot gimmick. But I think it's that kind of, that Candace or Tegan role of like that uber white meat baby face that's just the sweetheart that everyone tries to rally behind.
I wouldn't compare it to Bayley. Or I would compare it to Bayley rather than Tegan.
Yeah.
They're trying to build that next lovable baby face down there, which you need to do.
Yeah, because they don't really have that on the women's roster right now. Like, they tried that with Raquel. It didn't really work. And they don't have, and like, Candace got pregnant, so you lost her. And they don't really have anybody else on the roster that is really lovable.
Because Io's not, she's a badass. She's not an underdog.
Raquel is. She's crazy.
Raquel is the destroyer type. She's not an underdog. You need the underdog. And Cora J could be that.
Because you can tell that story with, like, Cora and Mandy at some point, because Mandy is obviously the ultra-glamorous, ultra-beautiful, bitchy girl. And then you have Cora Jade, who, like you said, is the white meat, nice, sweet, baby-faced girl who's trying to take out the bitchy girl. And that's what's going on there. And you have those two polar opposites fighting, telling that story. And of course, Cora Jade would be the underdog in that sense because Mandy has everything.
Well, she has backup as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got the backup in Gigi and JC. So that's another thing for Cora to sort of rally against.
I would like to see them build more white meat baby faces. For the women.
Yeah. I feel like we should call them something other than like white meat baby faces. Like, that feels a little mean.
It is, but that's the old school term of it.
The saccharine sweet baby face there.
There we go. The maple syrup baby face.
But it's like, the thing is, I think it's easier sometimes to create the heel, because it's like with Raquel, you have her as the big badass. So I don't know if she'll ever be the kind of saccharine sweet girl that you need. Tiffany has the look. But as we've already seen through vignettes and everything, that is not where they're going to go.
No, she's daddy's girl. That's where
she's the pampered princess, and that's what they're going to go with. Because, of course, she also visually fits that role.
Okay, I just want to say this really quickly about Tiffany Stratton. Why didn't you go with the gymnast thing from the get-go? Because here's my issue with that character, right? You're having her be the daddy's girl. You're having her be the wannabe Paris Hilton. I could give a fuck about that, right? Like, I really could. No offense to her. No offense at all. This is not a knock on her. But it's like, then they showed her this week where she's the gymnast. And I'm like, where has this been? Like, we've been seeing her run around on Rodeo Drive. But where did this come from? Like, she's an Olympian.
See,
why didn't that come up before?
Because if you went with the Olympian gimmick, I think we've been inclined that it's like, oh, the people that are former Olympians have the whole, like, nationalistic USA kind of stuff with it. Because it's like, oh, they were part of Team USA. And if you boo them, may not look good.
But here's the thing. You bring her in, you could have her be Team USA because they're super into gimmicks right now, right? Like, they're super into cheesy, stupid gimmicks. So it's like, you have her come in. You have her be the Olympian. You have her be the female Kurt Angle. And you know who she could go up against? The chick in the diamond mine.
Who's so badass.
Like, that's an automatic story that you could tell with her. And then you can evolve her from there, because Kurt Angle evolved out of the Olympian gimmick. It was always there. Like, we all knew he was part of Team USA. We all knew he broke his freaking neck winning a gold freaking medal.
Did he really? I never knew that. He won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck? What?
I know. Like, that.
I'm
so shocked.
So shocked by that. Breaking news, Chad. That's a first.
But I also think that they're going to use the Olympian gimmick for someone else. It's just a year away.
Yeah.
But you could still use it. Like, I mean, hell, you could do another Team USA, whatever.
I'm going to stop you. You don't need to use the USA part. Just that I'm, you know, a world-class gymnast.
I'm a world-class athlete. I'm a world-class gymnast. I've competed against the world's best.
Yeah.
I'm a CrossFit star.
Yeah. You don't need, and that's where you get the snob attitude from, because you're just better than everyone else.
I think the issue with that is, you just recently had that style, and you see it on the main roster with an EST.
Oh yeah, I get it, but you know, and I also get why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's like the daddy girl, the Paris Hilton daddy girl gimmick. Like, I need to see it, but it's just like, what? Why? Why are you doing that? You could do this, and it would be more badass. And she could take on the chick in the diamond mine. She could take on, you know, Mandy Rose. She could take on all these other people, because you're just going to build that. Basically, I just want her to be a strong character.
I think it's just the easiest way to get her heel heat initially is Daddy Spoiled Princess, and then you can build a little bit of character off of it. At least that's what I think. I don't necessarily think that may be the greatest route, but I think that's what they'll go with.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm just, as you can clearly tell, I'm having issues with the product right now.
But can we talk about something else really quick? That they teased on the show and they delivered on Tuesday?
Mm.
Speaking of gimmicks, we found out who the shaman was.
Bro.
To
be fair, if you're going to put anyone with MSK... It fits.
It totally fits.
I wanted it to be Rob Van Dam, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they could have brought Rob in.
Yeah.
But, like, Rob, another great fit. John Morrison, before he got let go, great fit. But, yeah, but him and the idiot twins, just, oh, God.
Well, the whole thing is, it's like, they're high, aren't they? Like, they have drugs, and they're high. That's where we're going with this. It's like... What did I say? It was a cross between Dude Where's My Car and what?
Oh, I forget.
But yeah, it's like Dude Where's My Car. Like, they're just driving around in a car, in different cars, high as fuck, with drugs in a zip bag or in a fanny pack, and then they go to the shaman, the head of highness, Matt Riddle, and they hang out with him. Which, it works. It totally, totally works. But it's just like, what are we doing? Because, like, for weeks we've had these vignettes, and it's like, what the hell is going on? It's just weird. And now we have the payoff. It was a good payoff. But it's just because it's like they're making all the references, and you're like, because I remember we were sitting here watching, it's like, they're high as fuck, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're just, They're high as fuck. That's what's going on.
Lindsay, they're just going to rename it. It's part of a rebranding of MSK. They're just going to start calling them CBD now.
I mean, they could get away with it. It's legal in Florida, I think. So, but yeah, that was a good payoff. That was a really good payoff.
All right, what's the next match on the show?
So really quickly, on the pre-show, Odyssey Jones defeated Andre Chase. Oh, wait, no, that didn't happen, did it?
No.
Okay. That was supposed to happen. It didn't happen.
No.
Wikipedia, you lie.
That probably happened and no one saw it.
Yeah, yeah. It happened. It just never made the broadcast.
You lying whore. Anyway, Imperium, Fabian Acne and Marcel Barthel defeated, in no surprise to anybody, Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner. After the match, you had Vaughn turn on Kyle and beat Kyle down and leave him laying.
Vaughn Wagner is the most boring WWE 2K22 creator wrestler that you've ever seen.
Yeah, God bless him. He's trying so hard.
I'm going to correct Lindsay. He did not leave him laying. That was on Tuesday. This is where Kyle told him to suck it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He threw up the UE through the suck it.
And showed him he's Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
It was a good suck it too. Like he's got the hand wrist motion down and everything. Like they taught him how to do that. You can tell he learned that from his uncle Sean.
Can we talk about how Fabian Aichner almost took a head dive onto the outside?
Yeah.
He does the running, you know, up the ropes and jump off the turnbuckle to the outside, which great athleticism, by the way. Just Vaughn, a step or two over to the right, okay? You gotta catch the man because he hit Von Wagner, but his head was already angling towards the ground and I think ended about 2 inches before it would have smacked the mat hard. And I'm just watching it live going, oh, please God, do not let that happen. I don't want that associated with me.
This matchup was good. Yeah, I mean, it's you got three great workers and then Von Wagner.
We talked about it because he's trying. Like trying so hard. You can tell.
He's improving. You're seeing improvement week by week. There's no personality behind him.
There's zero personality.
God, the promos he cuts are fucking god awful.
So he needs Jim Cornette. He needs that type of person.
He needs Malcolm Bibbins.
No, he needs Adam Pearce.
He needs someone to talk for him.
He does. He really does. He needs a manager, and unfortunately, they just don't believe in those anymore. But yeah, God bless him, he...
Brent will get this a little bit. He's sort of like Sid Vicious, but with less personality.
Yeah, I just don't want to see what happens to his leg.
Yeah.
Put him with a Teddy Long. Put him with someone that will let him talk. Here's
their monster, let him loose.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as stupid as you actually could have done that with Kyle if he was staying. I think that's what they were trying, was they had Kyle talking for him because they realized, oh shit, he can't talk, so we're going to have Kyle work with him before Kyle goes, and now it's just like, oh well.
Yeah, but you just need, he needs something. But he's improving as a worker, and he's only had a few matches under his belt, so it's like, everyone you're seeing on some of these matches, like Von Wagner and Braun Breaker and the like, they've only had maybe a dozen matches.
The problem is, it feels like WWE is fast-tracking him because we have seen him on SmackDown already.
Which was weird.
Not wrestling, for the love of God. But we've seen him, and it just feels like they're just really trying to get him up there because, you know, he is a tall, beefy guy, and that is someone's proclivity.
Yeah,
I just don't want to see him jump up there, like, way before it's time and then have it turn into one of those,
Like, if he wants to be on TV on SmackDown with Adam Pearce as the guy standing behind him, so when Brock shows up, there's someone there, that's fine, while he's still working and developing in NXT. That's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do both.
I think it's like, you could have him up there and you can have him take that bodyguard role, and then he can train with the guys and girls up on the main roster a little bit and get a different experience. And having him with Adam Pearce, you couldn't have him with anybody better if you tried, because Adam Pearce is immensely talented and could help Von Wagner out a great deal in terms of just being a better wrestler, being a better on-camera personality. Because here's the thing, like, he has presence. You can see it. He has an on-camera presence. He just doesn't have a personality, and I can't tell if that's the way that he's being written, if that's just how he is. Like, I'm just not sure what's going on there, because they really kind of haven't tried to do much with him in terms of having him be more than what he is. Like I said, they had Kyle doing a lot of that, Like, you saw little glimpses of it here and there, but, like, for the most part, it was Kyle who was doing all the work. And Vaughn was just kind of standing there because Vaughn, I don't think, can really do a lot yet. So it's like, okay, well, we're going to... Basically, Kyle was being the hard carry. And now...
Which you would know very well. It's spotting. As you have vast experience as being the hard carry. #hard carry, everyone.
That's Brent.
No, it's Lindsay.
That's Brent.
Anyway. It's completely Lindsay. You know, the #favorite. Do some #favorites in chat. We have emotes. Anyway, continue.
Wait, why is Jensen Impact Street like turning? Anyway, oh god, they changed the name. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, so this was good. Like, this was solid. It wasn't really anything to write home about. It wasn't a terribly, like, it was a longer match than you would have thought, but it wasn't like super duper long.
No, it was about
15 minutes.
Yeah, about 15 minutes.
You had Kyle playing the person in peril for most of it. You had, you know, Vaughn get his big man spots in. It worked.
Yeah, it completely worked. It was fine.
Very enjoyable.
Very enjoyable.
What's next?
Up next, we have Cameron Grimes taking on Duke Hudson in a hair versus hair match. Y'all, the prayer circle worked. Cameron Grimes' hair is fine.
This match was a lot slower than I thought it was going to be.
It was a little awkward. Like, it started a little bit awkward, and I think in part because they just, the second ring was there, and they weren't quite sure what to do with it. Because they had the chair set up in the one ring, and then they were working in the other. And they didn't have the back side of the ring like what they normally have because there was another ring in the way. So they were trying to work around the other ring without getting in it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the chair was there. Like, they got in at one point and Cameron played possum in it. And then he beat up Duke. But, like, for the most part, it was a little awkward because I think Duke's just a little bit green.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little green. I mean, and he was visually trying to tell the story, but... I don't know. His style, like I said, just felt really slow and methodic during this match, which isn't necessarily bad. But I want to say with someone like Cameron, I think he needs to be a little more upbeat.
Yeah. And also Cameron isn't necessarily the one to carry. Like, he's good. He's really good. And he's a really good supporting player. But in terms of carrying a match, I don't think he's that person.
No.
No.
Like, he needs somebody that's a little bit more experienced in there with him, and then it's really, really good, because obviously he has somebody helping him and kind of walking him through it. Like, he's learning, and I think this was a good thing for him to do, because he learned kind of how to walk through and carry a match like that, but I don't think he's the person to carry.
His style does not lend for that.
No, and so it's like, it just was very, very strange. Like, the whole build to this was really weird. Like, it was just all of a sudden, randomly, out of nowhere, they groomed Cameron Grimes, and then we had a hair versus hair match, just for shits and giggles.
It was weird because before this feud, Cameron was trying to do the whole, like, ladies man, you know, like, online dating thing, and then it just, like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, was just like, I'm not worried about that. Hey, let's play poker.
Well, he was going to get... And it had that element because the ladies watched him play poker and he was doing well. And then they kind of dropped the ladies bit.
Yeah, it was just... It just felt very much like the creative team was just like, yeah, this isn't fucking working. Let's pivot.
But on Tuesday, we saw Duke with hair still. Kind of.
I love the Estelle Getty wiki hat.
I thought he looked good with the buzz cut. Am I the only one that thought he looked good with the buzz cut?
I love the Kurt Angle that he's pulling here. The fucking wig. And then when Cameron came out, he put the headgear on to protect it.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
I know.
Yeah, so next week they're doing a no-holds-bar match between the two to finally sell the score.
Yeah, because Cameron cheated. But,
I
love that Cameron embraced it, too. He's the kind of face that's just like, of course I'm gonna fucking pull tights. My hair was on the line, you idiot.
Because he's not like a natural face. He's a natural heel in the face role.
But everyone fucking loves this, you know, country bumpkin, so.
He's the smarmy face. That's mm-hmm. what he is. He's the smarmy face where it's like, we all love him. We all adore him. But it's just like, he's like, you know, because they love me, I can get away with this kind of shit. If they didn't love me, I wouldn't be able to get away with it. But, you know, it's like, because I'm me, it's fine. Like, that's literally it. That's what he's doing. And it works for him. Because we do. We all love him. So it's like, oh, Cameron, you won. We're so proud of you. Good job. Even though you cheated, it's we're cool.
Well,
you do you, baby.
Well, in the lead up to this match, the promo he cut before he had the whole, like, Andre Chase interaction, when it was, you know, I kept my hair long, I kept the look because it reminded me of home. Like, when he cut that serious, portion,
mm-hmm.
It was really good. And it was one of those things like, yeah, that's a rallying cry. You know, the fans are just like, yeah, you're remembering where you're from. And that's why, this became personal. And yet, in that same vein of his personality, rolling him up and pulling the tights, it's like, yeah, that's who he is. So that's why the fans can get behind him, is because he is so embracing that full character of, like, yeah, he's from, you know, the swamps. Yeah, he made it lucky because he bought the game stonk, you know?
And it works for him. Like, I wish they would do more with him. They've kind of let him stagnate a little bit. Like, I know this helped, but I wish they would do more with Cameron Grimes, because I think they really do have something there with him, especially as the character's starting to evolve and change, because obviously what he was doing last year is not what he's doing now. So he's done a really nice job of, like, continuing to grow and change the character, where it's still outlandish, but it's not as outlandish. He's starting to get more and more serious with it, but we still have those moments of Cameron Grimes to the moon, where he's just that lovable guy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's totally a Wyatt Family reject, but that's fine.
Speaking of Wyatt Family rejects.
God, I'm so bitter.
Let's get to our next match.
Let's not.
Roderick, let's talk about this a little.
I don't want to talk about this.
We'll talk about it, Brent. Roderick Strong took on Joe Gacy in a NXT Cruiserweight Championship match with the 205-pound weight limit waived, which saw Roddy Strong successfully retain his title. The match itself was just, you know, it was there. It was a good match, but not great. You have Joe Gacy coming out after defeat. He has problems with the phrase 205 Live, it seems, and maybe changing that whole dynamic. I think the Cruiserweight title is probably going away for something more inclusive.
Yeah. I just love the way he started the match with, like, I think he initially, like, tried for a handshake and then transitioned to, like, let's hug. And Roddy sells it perfectly of looking at him like, what the fuck?
No, absolutely not. I do not want to do that with you.
Yeah, before shoving him back, and he's just like, no, let's fight. The thing I do like about Gacy is the fact of, though he is doing the inclusivity, you know, snowflake, all that stuff, dude is very talented. And when he ratchets it up in the ring, he can go.
Oh yeah, he's super good, and he's doing a great impression of Wyndham Rotunda.
But, like, at the moments in the match where he, you know, was kind of taking it to Roddy and, you know, hitting some of those impact moves, you were kind of like, oh, okay, so this is what happens when Gacy gets a little mad, gets a little into it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I just want to disclaimer this, that this is nothing against Joe Gacy. I am completely bitter for reasons outside of Joe Gacy. Like, when they debuted him, I saw him and I was like, there he is. That's my asshole right there. I love him. And then they turned him into Bray Wyatt, which is just a whole weird context for me. Still bitter about what happened with Bray Wyatt, so that is where the bitterness lies. It's not anything against him. Like, he's actually doing a really good job with the gimmick.
He broke out the black tank top this night.
Well, his shirt got ripped off, yeah, so that's what happened.
He's sparking people's attention. He's someone where when the screen comes on, you kind of look, and that's what you need more of.
And he's got the crazy eyes down. Like, he can do the crazy eyes, like that really, that dead, that cold, blank, dead stare. He does that very, very, very well. Like, there's a lot of stuff that he's doing right. I don't know how it's going to go for him, because, like Bray Wyatt, they're booking him exactly the same way, where they booked him to lose, and then they had him cut a promo to try and recover, which was that, oh, hey, we lost, but we still accomplished our goal, which is that 205 Live is going away. So it's a win-win for us, or it's a win-lose for us, because we still got what we wanted, but we didn't get the title. So, but they're booking him in that similar fashion.
So
I think to start, they're doing that, but I think starting on this upcoming Tuesday, we can see where stuff will be going moving forward. Because the Disciple is going to start factoring in more.
That's where I'm going, because Harlan debuts on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was at ringside, and he tried to beat up the chick in the diamond mine because she went for Gacy. And Harlan grabbed hold of her, and Gacy's like, no, put her down, down, bad, down, good boy. And that kind of what was aided in his defeat was that distraction. But yeah, Harlan will continue to play a factor.
I'm curious to see what he looks like in the ring.
It will be interesting.
Yeah, before when we saw Harlan, everyone, back when he was, Parker, everyone knew where we thought he was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
He had the look, he had the tats, we'll just say it. He was Brock 2.0. Now that they've kind of paired him with Gacy, I'm really intrigued to see what style he's going to use. Because, he's still a big, beefy guy. He's still going to be able to throw people around. But is he going to be someone like Brock? Or is he going to be someone like a Luke? I don't know. But I'm kind of intrigued to see where they're going to move him in terms of his style and the whole pairing with Gacy moving forward.
I think you make him a Luke Eric style at the start, just so he can grow into the person he's going to become. Like, Brock is he's special. He was a one-of-a-kind individual. You don't get many like him, as naturally gifted as Brock was when he first came in. For some, they need to develop that.
That could be who we see in about a year.
Yeah, he needs...
Because he has the pedigree to go with it.
Because people forget, Brock came up and everyone was like, oh my god, it's Brock Lesnar, and he developed on the roster. But he was also down in OVW for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little bit longer, and just sort of figuring out who he is.
I will say this, once they start figuring that out, I feel like you need to keep Gacy with him, because he is that person that shouldn't do a lot of talking. Very similar to Brock. You should have somebody doing his talking for him. Like Parker, Harland, whatever you want to call him, does his talking in the ring. He beats the shit out of people and he leaves.
And that goes back to the Von Wagner discussion, is Harland has the talker for him.
I mean, technically Joe Gacy could adopt Von Wagner.
I mean, that would work too.
That could work. Although, honestly, you know who I want to see Von Wagner paired with? Andre Chase.
I mean, that'd be good.
I want Von Wagner to be part of the student section.
Actually, what I could see him as is a bodyguard for Tiffany Stratton.
That would work too.
Like an old school Mr. Hughes style. That could work.
That could work as well.
Yeah.
All right. We've been avoiding it. We need to talk about it. The main event. Johnny's last match in NXT.
Johnny's farewell. Team Black and Gold. Johnny Gargano. LA Knight. Pete Dunne. Tommaso Ciampa. Taking on Team 2.0. Bron Breakker. Carmelo Hayes. Grayson Waller. And Tony D'Angelo. With Trick Williams.
Johnny's entrance.
His rebel heart was back.
The second rebel heart hit, the fans went ape shit, because it's one of those things, since he was part of the way, he had the new music, and the new music is fine. It fit him being an asshole, and it also fit the fact that Candace kind of went, dark pixie. But God, no, when he, these last little bits, it was like, we need Rebel Heart back. We want our Johnny back. And he came out, not just to the music, but to the gear. He called back to all of his fucking takeover gears, and it was just like, oh, you asshole.
He became the full superhero that he's been building. He was officially Johnny Takeover.
One more time. One last time.
That look on his face when he stepped out, too, for that match. You could tell. Like, number one, he really wanted to be in a War Games. It was the last match he did have.
He signed an extension to do this match.
And boy, did he perform in it. But, like, when he came out to the music and the fans cheering and seeing the cage, you could tell it was just like he was taking it all in.
Because he explained on Tuesday, like, he was never supposed to be Johnny Takeover. He was never supposed to be, he was told he wouldn't be in NXT, and then he got called in, and then they called him back again, and he just sort of made
it his home.
Made it his home. He became Johnny Gargano, Mr. Takeover. He did everything.
And the fans helped make him, is what he also pointed out. The fact, because they cheered for him, because they were so supportive, it's what kept him around.
It was DIY. It was self-made. It was everything like that. I don't know, we'll get to the match, but I just loved on Tuesday when he comes out to do the speech, he went, "Heartbreak told me I can go as long as I want."
Uncle Sean
holding it down, letting his boy go.
Just like, you know, I love the line, "Heartbreak told me I can go as long as I want." I was like, oh, that's good. But anyway, the match, it was fine. It was good. It's not going to be like something I remember, but other than Johnny's last match in NXT, but
I think part of this problem is what Lindsay touched on in the beginning and what this entire takeover is, or I'm sorry, War Games was. We're still learning a lot about the 2.0 brand and people. So it's like Bron Breakker, yeah, he has the pedigree. He has, you know, an it factor about him. It's still only his like sixth match. Tony D'Angelo,
I don't understand what they're doing with him.
Okay, he's a Sopranos guy. That's the most I got from him. He's had like three matches. Grayson Waller is the influencer dude who came out in boxing gear for some reason.
No, he's a man whore. I'm convinced. That is his whole purpose. He's just a man whore. He's just there to get laid. So,
no,
that's it.
He, you know, Brent, every influencer gets in the boxing ring these days to make their money.
Yeah, you know, he is the third Paul brother.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it's based off, kind of.
But it was that kind of thing of like, and then you have Carmelo trying to be, you know, the A title, but all of them being thrown together just felt really awkward. It's like with the women, you had like, okay, everyone's going against Toxic Attraction because they have this unit. And then they had Dakota there as the crazy friend who we don't trust, but whatever, we're still going to use her. So at least in that, you had like an actual dynamic to work with. In this, I understand it's, you know, 2.0 versus Black and Gold. But as we talked about in the lead up, LA Knight being on the team felt really weird because he's naturally a heel.
Yeah.
Though after this, I don't know. Are they going face with it because of what happens with him on Tuesday and Grayson and all of that?
Yeah, he's on the face side for now.
Yeah, is he like Cameron and just the cocky, smarmy face?
Yeah, dummy.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, oh, but I do have to say, I loved kind of the lead up to the War Games. You had some callbacks, like with Tommaso and Johnny, and they did the Rude Bomb with Pete.
Oh,
Pete,
that was good.
Looks at him like,
that
what
was
the
good.
Fuck, and just walks away.
That was
I'm
so
not doing
good.
This shit.
I forgot about the glorious Rude Bomb, but that was
That was such a great moment of like, these two guys, that's what helped get them over initially, was this stupid thing with Robert Roode, or like trying to get Bobby, and they always like run into him, and he's just like, God damn it. And then you have LA Knight at the very end, just, of course, yeah.
By the way, so the Steelers just woke up somehow. They were down 29, like nothing. It's now 29-21.
The Vikings fell asleep. That's what happened.
Yeah.
They literally let them score like 20 points in the second half.
I mean, the Steelers team is, you know, it's past their bedtime, especially Big Ben. So,
but he's wide awake now. He's got that last bit of energy. Anyway, I think they did what they needed to do in this match. They got Bron Breakker over. He's gonna be.
No, they didn't get Bron Breakker over. He lost to the door.
Well, yeah.
That was the moment I loved, and I was laughing my ass off for it, because the referee, at one point, Tony D'Angelo locks the cage door with a chain, which I understand. Okay, sure, you want to kind of beat down the Black and Gold team. You can't finish the match because everyone can't get in the cage, but whatever. And then when Braun's turn to come in hits, he runs down, looks at the ref and says, "I got this." And then takes 2 minutes to try and break the chain.
Yeah.
Until Bron Breakker rolls up and he's like, "Give me that." Yoink.
Well, the referees are fighting with it. And then he's like, "Stand back. I got this." And it's almost like when you have the one dude who's like trying to change the tire and just fucking it up.
Yeah, but Bron got the win for his team. He pinned Tommaso. They look to be on a collision course here in the next few weeks.
So Bron's a face, right?
Yes. Kind of. He should be.
I, I think he is because he did the whole, like, I respect the black and gold and, you know, like, I want my shot at Tommaso. Yet he was paired with D'Angelo and Grayson. Yeah. They're also trying to make Grayson Waller in this match as well.
Yeah, and, like, the people in the ring are the people that are going to rely on. Carmelo has something. Him and Trick.
Treat.
Is it Trick?
Trick.
Trick. Trick.
Right.
Trick or treat. They have something. Like, they're going to be a good pairing. Like, there's stuff coming out of this new rebrand that's going to work. Braun is a babyface. You want to cheer for him. This is what needs to happen. Him being on the heel side is not what you want. And I said that in the previous. Like, he's not a heel. He's a babyface. That's because you're looking for that. You're looking for that next guy to rally behind. And while Tommaso is the veteran everyone loves, the passing of the torch will happen probably here in the next few weeks, probably after the holidays. I want to do it before then, because...
New Year's Evil?
Yeah, I would do it then. Start off the new year with a new champion. I think that's... If they're going to do it, that is a good place to do it. That's January 4th, by the way.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get momentum behind Braun. Because obviously you've had him go for the title now once. It was too early to give it to him then, but they're building the momentum. They're building him back up to Tommaso because he has to learn, right? He's the rookie. And Tommaso's that chiseled veteran that he's like, you know what? I'm just a little bit smarter than you. I've been there more than once. I know what it takes to keep this. You don't know what it takes to get it.
And it was his, like, third or fourth match ever. So, like, then they sent him on tour to get some more experience in. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that kind of sucks for the NXT folks right now is that they're not touring. I don't think, like, they used to tour Florida.
Yeah, they used to, like, that's how got people like Bayley and stuff improve, and Sasha and Charlotte and all the likes improved, because they were on tour running the Florida loop every single weekend.
Well, and then they also made the national tour, got them...
Yeah, a few years later, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Lindsay, you went to one of the, like, bigger NXT shows, and you were able to see kind of, like, some personality starting to shine that hadn't quite hit TV, or storylines that they were working on as well.
Well, I got to go to one of the TV tapings, one or two of the TV tapings, when they had the TV stuff on tour, mm-hmm. and they were going to different cities. Like, they came here several times, and I went a couple times to the shows. And, yeah, it was a really cool experience because I got to see Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano. Like, I was there for the one where after it was the Johnny and Tommaso feud where Johnny put his job on the line,
mm-hmm.
and he lost.
Yeah.
That was the one I was there for. And so, yeah, like, it was really cool. And even then, it's like, I got to see Bray Wyatt before Bray Wyatt ever hit TV, because they had him on the house show circuit, and he was out there working. They're getting ready to call him up. So, but yeah, it's like that is the one detriment that I think they have right now is I don't think NXT is touring. They're just doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all these young up and comers and they're not working road shows. So they only have one shot to improve. Like they can go to the performance center and they can work in the performance center and they can improve that way. But there's something different about working shows and getting matches under your belt and being in front of crowds and doing all those things that really just helps to improve you. Right? That was a beautiful pass, by the way.
It was.
So I think maybe hopefully, and I'm figuring the reason why they're not on tour right now is obviously because of COVID. It's just too much. And also, I don't think that's what NXT is really supposed to be. But even when it was still hardcore developmental, they still toured. They still did the Florida loop. They go to all the armories and shit and tour around.
I think in the new year, that's going to be the plan. They're going to get back to doing that.
So, and if they do, that will be a huge help to people and help them improve. Because we even saw it on the main roster. Like, people kind of started to slip a little bit on the main roster because they weren't wrestling every show. They weren't on the road. They were going home. It's like they come in, they do TV, and then they go home, and they weren't working as much. So you saw people suffer as a result. Like this is a sport that is designed that you have to go work multiple times a week. It's like, you know, it's like football. It's like basketball. It's like baseball. It's designed that you have to keep moving. You have to continue to play, and you have to continue to be in front of the crowds and everything like that.
Reps work. You need them.
Yeah.
So. Let's really talk about it. It's the end of Johnny Gargano. He's in less than an hour going to be a free agent from World Wrestling Entertainment. He's going to be on the open market to the highest bidder. Will he come back? There's a chance. He was laid out by who laid him out on was it Waller? No, it wasn't Waller. It was
Grayson Waller.
Yeah, it was Waller.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, laid him out at the end of the show and sent him packing, and then did the whole farewell on social and everything for Johnny with Tommaso and all the feels, and Kyle had a moment too, and they're both are up. It sucks that they're going to be gone from our lives in NXT and headed elsewhere, possibly. Yeah. But I thought they did I think they did the brand right by elevating talent on their way out.
They did right by helping to elevate talent. And the one thing I will say is I really appreciate NXT kind of giving him that moment of saying goodbye on camera.
Yeah.
Not just having the beatdown, but like, because I mean, you could have Grayson Waller beat him down and it'll still put him over. But with Johnny, with that connection to the fans, there had to be like a goodbye.
Yeah, you can't have Johnny just not say goodbye, because he really is, in a lot of ways, the heart and soul of NXT. He's done so much for that brand, and he's carried so much on his shoulders that it would feel wrong for him not to have that moment to say goodbye. Like, the beatdown was fine. I have no problem with the beatdown. It was actually highly appropriate, but it's like, we should get to say goodbye to Johnny, and Johnny should get to say goodbye to us, because Johnny comes from that era of NXT, and this is not a knock on anybody that's on the brand right now, but Johnny comes from that era of NXT where NXT was everything to the talent. They worked their asses off to make NXT what it was, because nobody believed in it. Nobody backed it. It was the developmental brand, and by God, they were going to prove everybody wrong. He was one of the ones with Tommaso that had a chip on his shoulder, and it was him and Tommaso that built that goddamn brand.
They were rebels before rebels became elite.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, it just feels wrong to watch Johnny go and not get to say goodbye. And also, I think that's just who he is as a person. Like, he's you can tell that he's just a real sweetheart of a man, and it's like, he should have that moment. He should get it.
Well,
like, love him or hate him, he should have it.
And I think it's reflective, like you said, of the kind of person that Johnny is, in that WWE would give him that moment. Because at the most part, you know, if people are leaving, it's kind of like, well, okay. And especially because, no offense, WWE essentially could have gotten burned. Not by anything he would have said, but I think some people still look back at like, oh, they kind of gave Moxley the swan song. And then, of course, he shows up at Double or Nothing. And some people were like, you know, oh, well, maybe it was a mistake to give him that farewell tour. But
which it wasn't, by the way. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It's mm-hmm. it's the proper way to handle things. And it's showing the respect you have for someone. But I think in a sense here, like Johnny, much like Bryan Danielson when he left, he's on good terms with the WWE. He's not going to do anything to like slight them. He's not going to, you know, talk shit about them. And so WWE feels comfortable with like, you know what? No, he deserves his moment. He deserves this. And plus, it leaves the door open for if he ever wants to come back. It's like, yeah, you handle business well. We're willing to work with you. Whereas other people who leave and decide to burn bridges makes it a little harder.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they could get Johnny back, they would. But Johnny's got other factors in his life right now, including that Candace is pregnant. And it could be that maybe that's what he wants to focus on right now. Like, he can always come back and he can always wrestle. And being a free agent, if he wants to go work a show, he can go work a show. Like, there are options open now for him. Like, if he wants to go back on the indies and work the indies, he can. If he wants to go to AEW, he can. Like, he has that option. But it's like, I think he wants to go focus on other things right now, and that's fine. And the doors open on both sides. Like, if WWE made him a good offer, he might consider it. He might not. It depends on what he wants to do. But it's like, we kind of said it, I think, earlier this year, Johnny's done everything he can do in NXT. There's nothing really left for him to do or prove. And that was the problem with him.
He needs to look around and watch whatever the landscape is, because the place he had as his home is not there anymore. It's changing. And it's different for Kyle, because Kyle came in at the tail end of the hot run. Johnny was part of the bloom of NXT, the full-on takeover bloom of NXT. It's the home is no longer a thing. Kyle's a guy who will probably go to AEW, reunite with with Cole and Bobby and sort of feel what's out there.
Well, and also in a way, Kyle came from that family of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, we'll say it, is the heart and soul of AEW. When you start to look at, when you look at AEW now, it is old school Ring of Honor. And, you know, Ring of Honor is having their own transition at, you know, this weekend with Final Battle. It's the end of their era. But Johnny was always kind of more generally an independent person. He fought on, you know, the smaller shows. He made his way up through there and then got into NXT. So, like you said, I can see Kyle jumping to AEW. I don't know necessarily. If he jumps there and they just instantly go into the Undisputed Era, it feels like a cop-out, at least to me.
And that's something we'll have to see at a later time. But anyway, to wrap all this in a bow, was a good show. Wasn't a great show. I guess it's the best way to say it.
For a really a surprise show, because they needed to fill a date on the calendar, this was good. Like, this was entertaining. It did what it needed to do. I mean, I think we all walked into this with not the highest level of expectation, because you look at who's on the card and it's like, okay, you have a lot of young up and coming talent that don't really have experience. And the whole point of NXT now is to get people experience. So it's like, okay, we're going to put you on a pay-per-view style event. We're going to let you see what that feels like, what that experience is. We're not going to go back to the once a month or the once a quarter that we used to do. But we're going to give you maybe 2 a year where you can really figure that out for yourself and see what it's like. So when you go up to the main roster, it's not a huge surprise. They're really taking NXT back to what it was originally, which is it's the developmental system. It's there to get people experienced, to get people over, so that way when they bring them up to Raw and SmackDown, they're good to go. Because NXT is meant to duplicate the WWE experience as much as possible. That was the one thing about the system, that when they created it, they looked at FCW and it's like, oh, you have people wrestling in a warehouse in front of 20 people with one camera. Oh, well, then they go up to the main shows and it's 20,000 people with 16 cameras and it's a big building and it's a completely different experience. We can't have that. So they duplicated it and it worked. And it worked really, really well. And now they're going back to the formula that they felt worked. So we'll have to see if it does.
So, Brent.
Yes.
You have numbers for us?
Lindsay, you went 4-1.
Hey.
Wheel and 8-Ball. They went 3-2.
Okay.
And that's our show, everyone.
Now, what did I do?
You made picks.
What? How bad were my picks, Brent?
You went 5-0. There. Are you happy you get your little glorious moment?
Does he get an emote with a crown?
No, he does. He has to win next set of picks in order to get the crown and the crowned victory royale.
These are Fortnite references he's making, because we haven't told you that it's Fortnite references. Anyway, so that's our show.
That's our show. So you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Hey, chat. Fortnite with Friends is back. We're going to do Fortnite on Saturday. Before Super Air, which is live Saturday night, midnight, midlive.com, greatandgreatdebate.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio will be back, 10 p.m. Eastern, with Brent, Tim, and, because he's injured, Keishi.
Hey!
We get a co-host!
Good job, Brent.
I'm sorry for that, but we get a co-host! Oh, and it's a one-score game now.
It is, in fact, a one-score game. It turned from nothing to something really, really quick.
Wait. Gitchen is giving out 1,600 primos because they wanted the game awards! Reach and Paul!
I hate that game. Anyway, my name is Rob Poster.
People who don't know, you can tune in to Lynn's Ward on Twitch and watch Genshin.
Their new banner is dropping in like a week. Free Temple!
I hate this game.
Pog.
My name is Rob Poster, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For another edition of Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and whenever you get your podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or Amazon Music. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support that channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. Or you can use creator code RocketSock, or
Lynn's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LANSWARD. And you can also check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lynn's Ward.
Hold.
What?
Brent's on Twitter at KingKins.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brent.
It's okay. I'm not usually around. It's fine.
And
I just autopilot.
And follow her on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, because she's the Genshin Impact sweat.
I am.
The hard carry of Genshin Impact.
There is, I keep telling you, there is no hard carry of Genshin Impact. It's a solo player game 90% of the time. Unless you co-op.
You're the hard carry, and that's all we gotta say about that.
Anyway, for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on MaltTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.